May I speak in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Please be seated. Have you seen the film Monty Python and the Holy Grail? Don't worry if you haven't. It's basically Monty Python's send-up of the tales of King Arthur in the way that only Monty Python can. But there's a particular scene in there that reminded me of today's New Testament reading. And it's when Sir Bedivere rides, if you can call it that, because it's basically just two coconut halves clapped together, into the village. Sir Bedivere arrives in the village, and the villagers have grasped this woman, and they're claiming she's a witch. Now, it's quite obvious that the nose strapped to her face, long hooked nose, is fake. In fact, it doesn't look too dissimilar to the sort you can buy in the shops at this time of year. And all the evidence that they have against this woman claiming that she's a witch is false. So Bedivere questions the evidence, and the people actually admit that they've made it all up. But they still want to burn her as a witch anyway. Now, these days, we don't judge people as witches. Probably a good thing, otherwise I and anybody else in this church who is left-handed is in big trouble. But we do judge other people by their clothing, by their jobs, their friends, the kind of car they drive, the music they listen to, their hairstyle, their family, where they live. All kinds of reasons that we judge other people. Because people, normal people, just like jumping to conclusions. And with some people, you're left wondering whether that's the only exercise they ever get. It's what normal people do. They jump to conclusions. They judge other people. But I have some news for you. We are not supposed to be normal. We are supposed to be different. We have given our lives to Christ. And through Christ, we are called to live life by different standards. God calls us to love one another, to treat each other the same, no matter what. I've already been asked this morning why I have these two little birdhouses here. Well, just pretend they're not birdhouses. They're actually houses that people live in. They're the only house-shaped things I had. Now, thank you. This rather plain-looking one, this rather austere-looking house, is Judgment House. In this house, the doors are barred. There is no handle on the outside, and you can only get in if the people already in it let you in. This rather lovely looking house with the lovely terracotta tiled roof, you probably can't see them from where you are, but round the bottom, some lovely, neat, beautiful daffodils. This is the house where love lives, along with grace and mercy. This house is welcoming, the doors are open, and there is someone there to welcome you when you approach the house. If they're not at the door welcoming you, they're out, looking for people just like you to bring them in and welcome them. In his letter to the Romans, Paul is essentially asking, which of these houses do you live in? Do you live in Judgment House, or do you live in the house of love, mercy, and grace? It's a subject that most of us don't really want to hear about, but Paul point blank talks about standing in judgment of others. You can almost hear him when he writes his letter, the disbelief and sadness in his voice when he says, "Who are you to pass judgment on servants of another?" Why would he write that? Well, you have to remember that the church he's writing to is a very young church, and it's made up of Jews who have come to Christ, and it's also made up of Gentiles who have come to Christ. The Jews in the early church would have been brought up in the Jewish faith. They would have had strict dietary laws and strict laws with regards to the Sabbath. And one of the big no-nos was eating meat that had been sacrificed at the temples. The Gentiles, on the other hand, were raised without any knowledge of this. And they had no concept of a Sabbath. But when they accepted Christ, they began worshipping at the same time as the Jews. And they celebrated the resurrection of Christ on the first day of the week, which for us now is Sunday. But that differed from what the Jews were saying, because they said the Sabbath was a Saturday, or what we call a Saturday. So it wasn't necessarily that they were being nasty, but you had this group of well-meaning, knowledgeable people, old-timers, if you like, who had had a religious awakening, and they'd become Christians, followers of Christ. And we had these new Christians who, from the Gentiles, who had no upbringing in the same Jewish faith. They're new, they're growing in their faith. They don't know why certain things are done. They don't know what they're supposed to eat or anything like that. So it's not that these old timers, the people who'd been Jews all their life, were being mean-spirited perhaps, but they thought they were right. That's the way they'd always done it, and that's the way it should be done. But Paul saw that this controversy about the Sabbath and about the eating of meat that was sacrificed to the idols was getting a bit out of hand. So Paul writes this portion of the letter to address it. Now you're probably asking what difference that makes to us today. Probably not a lot, in that, I don't know about you, but I can't remember the last time I went to a pagan temple to buy a steak. And the Sabbath question has pretty much been answered over the years simply by practice. We're here. Paul was clear that it's not about the day that you observe a Sabbath. It's not about what you eat or drink, but in this case, eat. Paul is basically telling us, stop fighting about inconsequential things. It's not about these things. Our lives should be about honoring God, about not living for ourselves, but living for the Lord. And Paul says we should be careful about how we judge one another, because each of us will be accountable to God. We will all stand before the judgment seat of God. Paul's really only reiterating what Jesus himself said and reminds us of one of the basic things of our faith. Judge not, lest ye be judged. And that's not just a phrase that you have printed on a t-shirt. It's supposed to be a way of life. It's supposed to be a mark of who we are. It's supposed to be one of the signs that we are different. Once we accept Christ, we have been evicted from Judgment House. The door has been barred, and we will not be allowed back in. We are challenged to move from Judgment House into the house where love, grace, and mercy live. Now, in truth, they're probably not that close together. There's probably a great big long road between the two, and we're probably somewhere between the two there. because we can't do it on our own. It's not easy to live to God and not to ourselves. We are not perfect. We are not free from sin. We live in a fallen world and it is difficult. But we can give it our best shot. But we always come up short, and it is made harder if we do it alone. But I have some more news for you, and this time it's good news. We don't have to do it alone. We have Christ. He stepped into the scene and he said, I will take your burden of sin. I will take your burden of sin. I will take everyone's burden of sin who turns to me. When we triumph, we all triumph. So we need Christ, but we also need each other. We can't bring about our own salvation. We can't live in this house of love, grace, and mercy alone. One of the keys of living in this house is to show love, grace, and mercy. That's how we live to the Lord, as Paul says. I was reading a story recently, and I'm just going to read it to you here, because it kind of illustrates the point, using the house analogy again. A priest was visiting one of his parishioners, and as they were talking, the conversation began to lag. The lady of the house, wanting to pick up the conversation, pointed out her window to her neighbour's garden and said, "See that lady next door and the wash she hangs out? See how dirty it is. She never hangs out a clean wash." The priest felt somewhat uncomfortable and tried to change the subject, and shortly after drew the visit to a close. As he was departing from the house, the lady of the house walked out with him, and again they could see the washing hanging on the next door neighbour's line. It was clearly visible to them both. They both realised at the same time that this wash was as sparkling white as ever, any washing you had ever seen. And the truth began to dawn on both of them that it wasn't the neighbour's wash that was dirty. Rather, it was the window through which they had viewed the wash. How clean are your windows? Which house do you live in? Or are you like me, probably somewhere in between? I'm hoping I'm closer to this one. You and I have been challenged to deviate from the world, to be different. We have received a prescription for holiness, and we have put on Christ. And now we are called, we are challenged to live to the Lord. But we can't do it by ourselves, and we certainly can't do it if we live in Judgment House. We can only do it if we are at least on our way, if not already living in the house with love, grace, and mercy. How clean are your windows? Which house do you live in? Amen.